Dear Father, have mercy on us according to your unfailing love. We thank you for the blood of Christ to blot out our transgressions, wash away our iniquity and cleanse us from our sins. A broken and contrite heart you will not despise. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Father, we thank you that you have adopted us, grafted us in, and allow us to share the spiritual nourishments of the tree rooted in your covenant with Abraham. We thank you that you are a jealous God and would not allow your adopted children to worship idols because we are yours. During this time of pandemic and uncertainty, many brothers and sisters are either taking risks serving as essential employees or suffering from job losses, health issues, or even losses of their loved ones. In all the trials and adversities, Father, bring us closer to you and help us to learn both to depend on you and to trust you. For you have a perfect plan for us. Remove all the idols in our life and help us abide in you and in your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to Romans 11:11-15. I would like to invite you to stand and read God's word together. We'll use the ESV version. Verse 11. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, I'm speaking to you, Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? This is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters, the title of my sermon today is A Tale of Two Branches. We used to live in a ranch house in Northern Bridgewater. And there was this young couple, Paul and Deborah, who lived just across the street. They are Jewish and they frequently would invite us to their house for some Jewish celebrations. And they would explain the meaning of each celebration to us. They are some of the most friendly people we have ever met. Now, after I became a Christian, I wanted to share the good news with Paul. But when I spoke about Jesus, Paul would twist his beard and say, I wonder what Moses would say about Jesus. Being a relatively young Christian, I actually didn't know how to respond to him. But I hope, I wish some seed was planted in Paul. And I hope that one day he would truly understand Christ is the one that he has been waiting for. And not only that, in Christ, he would experience the true shalom, peace. And today we're going to look at the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 11 to 15. Now remember, in the first three chapters, it deals with Israel's present unbelief in God's future plan for Israel. There's an important clarification. In today's passage, when we say Israel, it means the majority of ethnic Israel who still do not believe in the gospel. And from chapters 9 to 11, we learn about Paul's anguish for Israel. We learn about what true Israel, the spiritual Israel, means. We learn about God's grace and sovereignty. In today's passage, all these concepts will come together, and we're going to explain that there are actually three stages in the history and the future of Israel. The first stage is that Israel rebelled against God. And the second stage is that then salvation went to the Gentiles. But after that, stage three, because the salvation went to the Gentiles, it caused the Israel to become jealous and prompted them to return to God. So even though our focus today appears to be about on Israel, everything we talk about actually is of critical importance to Christians as well. As a principle applies to us today, and the Gentile Christians play a very important role in the mission to the ethnic Israel. So the main idea of today's passage is this. Jewish and Gentile believers are one in Christ. Two branches sharing the same spiritual root. Despite the initial disobedience, both Jews and Gentiles, through God's mercy and election, would direct each other to Christ, the true vine. Now we have three divisions for today's passage. The first division is a natural branch is broken off. Israel's loss is Gentiles' gain. The trespass of Israel caused salvation to come to Gentiles. The second division is a wild branch is grafted in. Salvation of Gentiles makes Jews jealous. Paul magnified his ministry to make his fellow Jews jealous in order to save some of them. And the third division is from verse 15 and also from Ephesians 2, 11 to 16. Christ reconciled both Jews and Gentiles believers to God in one body through the cross. Paul has the vision of the accomplished mission of Jews' fullness and acceptance with the full assurance of hope. And here's the good news. We were grafted in by God's mercy and election to share the spiritual nourishments, not by our merits. And as we abide in Him and His love, as we see in John 15, we will bear much fruit. Now, in the beginning of chapter 11, as Andrew preached last Sunday, we know that God did preserve a remnant among the Jews. But the majority of the ethnic Jews are ignorant of the righteousness through Christ. So in verse 11, Paul again asks this question. Did Israel stumble so that they might fall completely? In other words, is there no hope for Israel anymore? And his answer is an emphatic no. God actually has a wonderful plan that is still unfolding. Despite Israel's rejection of the gospel, God actually used their trespassing to bring salvation to the Gentiles. So let's pause for a moment to think about this. What if all the Jews accepted Christ as their Savior after they heard the good news from Jesus and his disciples? There might be two issues here. The first one is that the Jews might think that, oh, this gospel is for us, and it might stay inside the Jewish community. And they may not have the incentive to go out to preach to the Gentiles. And the second consequence is that if that's the case, then the gospel will stay in the Jewish community, but from the external world's point of view, they'll be considered just a revival of the Jewish only, or even a Jewish sect. But this is actually what happened in the historical context. Jesus and his disciples, including Paul, they would frequently preach in the synagogues first, and some would believe and some would not, and cause a division in the Jewish community. And the preachers then would turn to the Gentiles, and they would find many converts. And this reminds me of the kingdom banquet in Matthew 22 and Luke 14. There was this king who held a banquet, and he sent his servants out to invite many guests. But some denied the opportunity because of many excuses, either because of their business, because of the farming, because of marriage, they all refused to come. And that caused the king to be upset. So he went out to grab anyone on the street to come to the banquet. So the disbelief of Jews caused the gospel to go to Gentile nations. And then the church became multi-ethnic, with both early Jew believers and Gentile Christians. This is why the transgressions of the Jews becomes riches for the world, all according to God's perfect plan. Because of the unbelief, the majority of the ethnic Israel is like a branch broken off from the sheer spiritual root of the true Israel based on God's promise to Abraham. He was declared righteous by his faith. So actually, in Abraham, there are two seeds. One is based on his flesh, one is based on God's promise. And this tree we're talking about is the spiritual one, the true Israel, which will include both Gentiles and ethnic Israel, ethnic Jews that later on will believe. A natural branch was broken off. That was our first point. But that was also the anguish that Paul had for his people. He knew how devastating it was to be a branch broken off from that olive tree or the true vine. A broken branch would not be able to receive the nutrients from the root unless it's grafted back again. Recently, because of sheltering at home during this pandemic, I decided to build two raised garden beds and planted some cucumber and tomato seedlings that weren't in prepared. Now, it forced me to go outside every day to check on the garden beds and also on the plants. We also watched a YouTube video on how to raise and prune tomatoes, and it was fascinating. One tip I learned was to remove what they call suckers. So suckers on the tomato plant are the secondary offshoots that they can grow into full branches. But most of the energy produced on these suckers or branches is to create the foliage. So you may end up with lots of green leaves, but no fruit. So to make sure that the energy and sugar produced by this tomato's plant is meant to make tomatoes, not leaves, you have to prune the tree. You have to remove these suckers. So remember, the purpose of a gardener is always to yield more fruit. And sometimes we refer to our ministry as a vineyard. We may have a lot of activities going on, like a lot of leaves. But a reminder for all of us is that the ultimate goal is to yield fruit, to have real life growth, and to yield fruit of the Spirit. Now, even though it appears that the branch that represents the majority of the ethnic Jews was broken off, that is not the end of the story, as Paul indicated in verse 12. And as he looked to the future, and this brings us to the second point, grafted in. A wild branch is grafted in. Salvation of Gentiles makes Jews jealous. So Paul started in verse 13 by asking Gentile questions to pay attention. His ministry among them has one important purpose: to make his fellow Jews jealous so as to save some of them. The Jews or the ethnic Israel thought that, oh, since they were the offspring of the Abraham, they, the chosen people, should naturally receive the spiritual inheritance. But in the book of Acts, many of them realized God's salvation had come to the Gentiles and all the nations. So again, this was promised to Abraham, actually, even back in Genesis 12:3. So let me read that verse. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. See, that was the mission statement for Israel. These Gentile Christians did not even seek God or His salvation, but they received it by faith after they heard the gospel. This makes Israel very jealous. I mean, the majority of the ethnic Jews, very jealous. So let us pause here to distinguish between the words envy and jealous. They are frequently used interchangeably. But did you notice that we say God is a jealous God, but we never say that God envies anyone? So I would like to use the definitions on envy and jealousy I found on the Desiring God ministry website. So envy is a desire to gain possession of something that does not belong to you. That's envy. But jealousy is a strong desire to maintain relational faithfulness that you believe does belong to you. Let me say that again. Envy is a desire to gain something that doesn't belong to you, but jealousy is a strong desire to maintain a faithful relationship for something you believe that does belong to you. And this is how we use the word jealousy here. God will not envy anyone because He owns everything. But when I first heard that one of the characters of God is jealousy, I was surprised, because we typically associate being jealous as someone who has low self-esteem and is always afraid of losing someone or something. Not only that, when you share the gospel with people and say that we have one God, people will frequently attack us and say, "You guys are too exclusive. Why just one God?" They say that all the religions are trying to encourage people to do good things. But imagine that you are a parent. Would you want your child to call any other person on the street father or mother? No. You might if you don't care that much about your child. But we're thankful that our God truly cares about us, and He is a jealous God because He wants us to maintain that faithful relationship with Him. So now Israel belongs to God, but it worships other idols, and that makes God jealous. So this is what God said in Deuteronomy 32:31. Let me read this verse. Deuteronomy 32:21. "They have made me jealous with what is no God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are no people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation." As Israel turns away from God, God promises that one day He will establish a new nation that is not based on our ethnic backgrounds or nationality, but is based on their faith in God. They will be reconciled with God through the blood of Christ, the true Messiah. While our God is a jealous God, He is also willing to adopt us as His spiritual children through His compassion, mercy, and election, entirely not based on our merits. And that's the good news. We are grafted in to share the spiritual nourishments of what were given to Israel originally, as described in Romans 9. Adoption as God's children, the glory, the covenants, the giving of God's word, the worship, and promises. And more importantly, the true Savior, Jesus Christ, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that in some circumstances, you can reinvigorate an olive tree which is ceasing to bear fruit by grafting it with the shoot of the wild olive? This stimulates the tree to provide nourishment to the wild shoot, and thus the tree begins to bear fruit again. This may be exactly what God is doing to Israel. The presence of the wild olive, the Gentile Christians, renews the whole tree and re-energizes all its systems. Sometimes a church that is not growing will be revitalized when there's a seeker who comes in with all the questions about the Bible and the gospel. So I appreciate the fact that we have an ongoing gospel talk class and we welcome all the seekers to come in to ask any questions. But more importantly, I hope that we will all indeed be reaching out to those who still have yet to hear the gospel, especially our Jewish friends. Let us not be complacent and certainly do not boast or privilege as God's newly adopted children, because it was always God's will that both there will be both Gentile and Jewish Christians in this true Israel, this spiritual tree. Now remember what Paul said about a mission to Gentile Christians? We are to make Jews jealous. But that doesn't mean for us to be arrogant. So how do we do that? Would Jews look at Christian churches today and feel that they are jealous? Do they sense that we are true children of God? To answer that question, I actually want to ask you another question. Do you like jazz music? There was a book that a young adult introduced me to me called Blue Like Jazz, which was quite popular perhaps 15 years ago. Now the author was never interested in the jazz music until he saw someone playing saxophone for 15 minutes with his eyes closed and totally immersed in the music. And after that, he became interested in jazz. So in Psalm 34:8, we learn to taste and see that the Lord is good. When we rejoice in our salvation, when we put our trust in Him, even during times of adversity and trials, people will notice and they will be jealous. As we abide in Christ and in His love, receiving the nourishments from His Word and His Spirit, we will bear fruit. So in some way, the disobedience of Israel leads to the salvation of Gentiles. But we pray that the obedience of Gentiles will prompt the majority of Israel to come back to Christ. And that's God's beautiful, wonderful plan. Leads us to the third point, united in Christ. In verse 15, Paul looks ahead and sees Israel's acceptance of the gospel in Christ as the Messiah. And he said, let's life from the dead, which essentially means resurrection. Now this reminds us of Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 to 14, where we see a vision of dry bones in the valley coming back to life. And God said that He was referring to Israel and He will put His Spirit on Israel. And what was Paul's vision? We need to refer to Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 16 to get a full picture. The work of Christ is to break down the hostility between the Gentile and Jews and to abolish the law of commandments, because the new law, the new covenant is based on our faith in Christ. He created in Himself one new man in place of the two and reconciled both Jews and Gentiles believers to God in one body through the cross. If God cares so much about this branch that was broken off, if Paul had anguish about his own people, as he brought the good news to the Gentiles, let us be used by God as a channel to bring the good news to our Jewish friends. Sometimes this broken branch reminds me of the old brother in the story of the prodigal son, who was standing outside the door as the prodigal son was actually inside the house. The one who was not seeking God or his father is now repented and is inside the house, but that old brother was still outside. So if I have the part two of the prodigal son, I would like to see that young brother would go out and invite the old brother in. And that's our mission as Gentile Christians to the Jews. Because it's God's desire to have both branches grafted in to have this beautiful multi-ethnic tree. Sharing the common covenant from the days of Abraham. So I'm very thankful that the Lord has moved several brothers and sisters in this church to join the Chosen People Ministry to reach out to the Jews in New York City and in our neighborhoods. This is pleasing to our God, our Heavenly Father. The night before Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, he gave a very powerful speech. Sensing the danger around him, he shared a vision and hope regarding the civil rights movement for social justice. This is what he said. "We have got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now, because I have been to the mountaintop and I have seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." This reminds us when God led Moses to Mount Nebo to see the promised land. Even Moses, the one that Israel received the Ten Commandments from, was not allowed to physically go into the promised land when he was on earth because he disobeyed God once. But we know he is in the true promised land now because Christ is the one that will truly take us to the promised land, to have the true shalom, to enjoy the true rest, to be free from the bondage of sins, to be free from the accusations of the enemies. Even though Paul saw only a few Jewish believers at his time, the remnants, he had a vision of the unaccomplished mission of the true Israel, complete with both the wild olive tree and the natural branch, grafted in the last days, full in number according to God's perfect and divine plan. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you that through your mercy and election, we have been grafted in to share the spiritual nourishments. May we continue to abide in you and your love, and may you use us as a channel to bring those who have not received the gospel, including our Jewish friends, to you. We look forward to the day when we are all united in Christ, both the natural branch and the wild olive branch, nourished from the same tree that gives life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.